Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to be before you. I'm going to be not before you long on this evening. I know as Brother Curry said so well in the prayer, sometimes we have to challenge ourselves and understand that we have to fight through. Amen? Sometimes even our fatigue and tiredness, and understand the more important thing is that I get another opportunity to hear from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But so I'm going to be, won't be before you long, but I want to make a couple of points from what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 34th division. Look at verses, we'll look at 17 through 19, make a couple points on that, and the message will be yours on this afternoon. Amen?
Amen.
And again, we want to speak from the subject, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. Now, David was the one that penned this understanding that what he was going through, that when those that are righteous cry to the Lord, and the cry means we offer up, if it be prayers and requests and supplication to the Lord, and we'll find in the text that God is open to those things that we hear. God heareth, and God responds in likeness. And so, in verse 17, Brother Oles, if you'll start with me there.
The righteous cry,
uh-huh.
And the Lord heareth,
yeah.
And delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Yeah, so he said, first of all, and that's my subject this afternoon, he said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all troubles. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, so when we talk about our crying to the Lord, we're offering prayers to the Lord. And Paul, in his letter to the congregation he loved in Philippi, talks about when we make supplications or when we cry out to the Lord in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, Brother Oles. What does the Bible say?
Be careful for nothing.
Yeah.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
So Paul, in letting the congregation know there in Philippi, he said the word careful again means to be anxious or having anxiety. And he says in the text that we ought not to be anxious for nothing. You know, why is it that I can be anxiety free? He said, why? Because there is an answer when I may have anxiety in me. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, notice now, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And so prayer is simply a request that we make known to God. When I go to God and I ask God for those things that I am in need of, I know that God, according to what Paul has said in the Philippian letter, that God, he says, let God know what your requests are. He said, not only that, make them known to God, but understand this about the God that we serve. And that's why David said, if you cry to the Lord, those that are righteous, God would hear it. He says that not only can we offer requests to God, but we can also, supplications mean things that I need or things that I'm asking God to supply me. He said, let them be made known unto God, because in verse 19 of the Philippian letter, Paul makes it personal when he said, but my God
shall supply all your need
according
to his riches and glory, yeah, by Christ Jesus.
So he said, and that's why when we pray, we offer that prayer in Jesus' name. He said, but Paul said, made it personal. He said, but my God, the God that I serve, shall supply. Notice he said, all your need, not some of them. God can supply all your need, and there's according to the riches that God has in glory, and is done by Christ Jesus. So when we go to God, we should always end that prayer request or that supplication that we're asking in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so we find, again, not only did God hear our cries, and so, again, as I was sharing this morning, one thing about being a Christian, that having a spiritual family that may even exceed our physical family. If our physical family are not Christian, they can't pray to the Lord for us. Mm. Yeah, they make him pray, but God does not hear them. Why? Because they are outside of God's safety. They haven't obeyed the Lord and have not become righteous. Now, talk about it in. So again, that's one thing about a spiritual family. When sometimes I think we take for granted sometimes when someone comes up, and I think that's why I would encourage all of us to remain seated and not leave when you have people coming up making their statements and asking for prayer. Why? Because one day you might be up here, and you may need somebody to listen to you. And I think that's out of respect and love for our members. We should stand a lot of person to make that request, because when they send that letter and say, I want to thank you for all your prayers and texts and phone calls, that means something to a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we as a spiritual family ought to do that for one another. I want to hear what your request is. And when I go to God, when I pray with my family, I want to pray on your behalf. But sometimes my daughter's real good about when we do our family prayer at night, she'll remember those people who ask for prayer. And she'll bring that up. Sometimes my wife or myself. But we want to let the church know. And sometimes I'll even, after we do our family prayer, I'll send a text out and just say, brother, I want you to know we prayed for you tonight. Sister, we prayed for you. You want them to know that when they ask for a request and ask for those, the saints, to pray for them, then we want to support that. Amen?
Amen.
And so it means a lot. And again, we are doing what God had asked us to do. No, look at James chapter 5. Won't be before you long. I'll be down before. I'm not going to say that. Yeah. Where Pete? Pete in here? Pete, raise your hand. He right there. I got to keep my eye on Pete. Pete be having a clock. I see you, Pete. Pete be having a stopwatch. You need to go out there and time them people that's running. Don't be timing me. That'll catch you. That's track conversation. Q know about that. Notice what the Bible says. Just look in. And I'm not going to be for you long. In James chapter 5, Brother Oles, in verse number 14, James 5:14, talking about prayer, how important it is. Is any among you,
sick among you?
Yeah. Let him do
him
what?
Let him call for the elders of the church.
And?
Let them pray over him.
Uh-huh.
Anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord.
Now watch about the prayer of faith.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Confess your faults.
One to another.
And?
Pray one for another.
Yeah.
That ye may be healed.
The effectual?
Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
It's something about being righteous. And it's something about asking for prayer. Amen? And so we have in the Word of God, God had asked us. And I think that's why I'm encouraging us that when we hear those our brothers and sisters that ask for prayer, we can pray to God. We don't have to know what it's about unless they choose to want to share with us. But the fact that we go to God on their behalf, God, the Bible says that when the righteous cry, God hear it, and he'll deliver them out of troubles. When it comes to troubles, look in 2 Timothy 4:18. A couple of verses. I'm down from this pulpit on this afternoon. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Pete, keep the watch running. Yeah, boy, I got that watch running. Yeah. Notice what God said. When we talk about being delivered, sometimes when we go through stuff, sometimes you can have others with you, but sometimes, as we find in 2 Timothy, Brother Oles, and verse number 18, 2 Timothy 4:18, when it comes about delivering, Paul, when he was in a situation, God was the one. The Lord delivered him.
And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work.
Yeah.
And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom.
Uh-huh.
To whom be glory forever and ever.
So now, amen. When it comes to not only does God hear it, righteous prayer, but God also delivered him out of trouble. We have New Testament scripture when Paul, when he wrote his second letter to Timothy, he said, notice, I was going through some stuff. I was going through some stuff. And notice how sometimes you'll find that Christians don't even support you. He said in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I prayed God that it may not be laid to their charge. Sometimes you need brothers to help you. You need brothers to support you. And Paul said on this occasion, he said, all men forsook me. He said, now understand this, and this is also about a Christian. You know, you got to have a spirit sometimes. When people do you wrong, you don't try to get back at them. Yeah, when people don't do what you want them to do, you don't have attitude, well, I'll get him back. You know, that's not biblical. Revenge belongs to the Lord. And Paul said, even though those brothers they forsook me, he said, you know what? I went to God on their behalf. And I said, God, don't hold that against them. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And notice what God did. Sometimes when God see you by yourself, God know what to do. We talked about that this morning. God know how to comfort and to send aid. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered, notice, out of the mouth of the who?
Lion.
Of the lion. Yeah, you say, Paul said there was those that was like a lion. God delivered me out of that mouth. And so what I'm saying to us, God can deliver any of us out of any of our troubles. Amen?
Amen.
Go back to Psalm, Brother Oles. Psalm 34, give me verse 18.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart.
Uh-huh.
And saving such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yeah. So now he says here two things. He said that the Lord is near unto them that are brokenhearted. When your spirit is broken, he said, now the Lord, the righteous person whose heart has been broken, your spirit is broken, he said the Lord is near them. And notice he said, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, a contrite spirit is a spirit. Let me share this with us, those that are Christians. A contrite spirit is when I know I have done wrong and I feel bad about it. You know, as a Christian, we got to understand when I do wrong, it's my responsibility to make that thing right. Go to 2 Samuel 12, 13. Yeah. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying that when the word contrite means I feel bad for the behavior that I did that was wrong. We have a case in point of David in 2 Samuel 12, 13, when Nathan brought out to David that David done wrong. And I think we ought to be, when someone come to you in love and share something with you about a wrong that you've done, you need to thank that person. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So when God used Nathan to go to David and to tell David of his wrong, what did David say in verse 13?
And David said unto Nathan,
uh-huh,
I have sinned against the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And Nathan said unto David,
guess what?
The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die.
So understand this. When I do wrong, I need to be big enough to admit that I've done wrong.
Amen.
When I've done somebody wrong, I need to say to you, brother, I'm sorry. I was wrong in what I did. And notice, just like with David, the Bible says Nathan told him that God, because you repented of that thing, God has put away thy sin. You know, and that's the thing that gives us a heart after David. God said in Acts 13, 22, and of whom the Bible said when he removed Saul, he said he raised up unto them, Acts 13, 22, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. Notice what God said about David in Acts 13, 22. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. What made David, I think part of what David made David a man after God's own heart, because when David saw he was wrong, David admitted the wrong. Mm-hmm. And a heart after the Lord will be one when I'm wrong. I admit the fact that I'm wrong. That's the kind of spirit. When I know I'm wrong, and I don't try to justify my behavior. Sometimes, even we as Christians, we'll try to justify the fact that, give excuses for what, when you wrong, admit you wrong. Amen. When I have sinned against God, he said, well, what is wrong? Wrong is whenever I do something that violates God's will, that becomes sin. You know, and sometimes, and I'll say this here in our interaction with one another, sometimes when I may have said something wrongly, or I may have said something harshly, amen? I need to understand that the Lord has given me a scripture, even on that. Go to Colossians chapter 3, brother. Colossians 4 and 6. Got one more verse and I'm finished. Pete, I'm getting out of here, Pete. Yeah, Pete raised his hand. Pete like that. Pete, come on, Bo. Yeah. All right. Look, I'm just showing us how when I have a righteous spirit, and understand this here, by the definition of righteousness, I said to somebody, righteousness means right living. Righteousness means trying to do what's right. I can't do what's wrong and I can call myself righteous, but I'm not living righteous. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith, and the word just and the word righteous come from the same Greek word. It means right doing or doing that was right. But notice when it talks about my speech in Colossians 4 and 6. Paul said what?
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Yeah, he said, now, before you say something to somebody, you taste it yourself. If it don't taste good to you, don't serve it to nobody. He said, let your speech be always with grace, season it with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer every man. And so when we talk to one another, our speech ought to be with grace. And we talked about this morning, sometimes those words of encouragement are words that are shared to encourage a person. But we should always want to encourage each other to do that which is right. Amen?
Amen.
And I think we should go to one another in love and share with them those things that are not consistent with the will of God that we know that's not there. And we can say it in an encouraging way. And sometimes when you give encouraging words, it depends on how the person want to take it. But we know the spirit in which we gave it. Amen?
Amen.
And then finally, go to Psalm 34, 19. I'm getting down. Coming down from this pulpit this afternoon. Verse 19.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yeah.
But the Lord delivered him out of them all.
So then, psalmist writer, as he closed verses of scripture, he went back to the verse 17, where he told that the Lord would deliver you out of all your troubles. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we talked this morning about when we go through stuff. We talked exclusively the word affliction in the King James. Oftentimes they use the word tribulation. They use the word troubles. They use the word affliction. All those words and often contexts mean the same thing. Is when you going through stuff, when you have situations that we talked about this morning, that sometimes Paul said in 2 Corinthians letter in verse chapter 1, he said, I was out of measure. They were young men. Sometimes we going through stuff that we don't think nobody can help us with. But remember, you have God. And if you're a Christian, you have the Lord to comfort you. And I think we talked about, I hope we saw this morning, I was sharing with my wife, I hope we saw this morning when we went through the levels of comfort, how God is the Father of all comfort. That's one level of comfort. Then God, oftentimes, the word consolation is when God uses those that have gone through the same thing you've gone through to console you. That's a form of comforting. Then the third level is when Paul said, nevertheless, God who comforted those that are cast down, he said, God sometimes will use other Christians to give you words of encouragement. You know, so again, God is the one that delivers us, but God uses different vehicles and individuals. Remember, we are God's hand and we are God's feet. That's why we are the body of Christ. When Christ lived on earth, the Bible tells us, Luke wrote that Christ lived to save those which were lost. But now, that's why when the King James version of it, it refers to the church as the body. Because they understood that they was the spiritual body of Christ, not the physical body. We are the spiritual body. We are the hands, the feet, and the eyes of Christ. We are that body. That's why when Paul told him in Ephesians 4:4, he said there is one body. They understood there is only one spiritual body. Yeah, and we are that body. And so we know that God needs us to be what Christ was while he was on earth. Now it's upon us to be that
body, we are his spiritual body, and we are the ones to share with those that come to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you go to Romans 6:16, how does one become righteous? Let me close with that, and I'm going to give you the gospel. I'm going to go back to Psalms to give you the gospel. Then the message is yours. And Romans 6:16, how does one become righteous? How does one become righteous?
He know said, ye not.
Know ye not.
That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey.
Yeah.
His servants ye are to whom ye obey.
Mm-hmm.
Whether of sin unto death.
Yeah.
Or of obedience unto righteousness.
Yeah. So in other words, in order for a person to become righteous, righteousness only comes through obedience to God. You have to obey the gospel. That death, burial, and resurrection, you have to hear that message threefold. Three facts of the gospel. You have to hear him, you have to believe him, you have to repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and then be water baptized. That's the obedience that's necessary to bring you into righteousness. But then go back to Psalm. We're going to find the gospel in Psalms 22. We'll see Christ on the cross, and then we'll see what happened to Christ on the cross, and then the message is yours. So we can find, remember, you can find the gospel throughout the Bible. And I try to make it a challenge to me that when I preach from a text, try to find the gospel in that book in which you're reading. That's a preacher challenge. Yeah, so I've had to find the gospel in Psalms. Psalms 22 and verse number 1, Brother O. Psalm 22. First, he's going to show you Christ on the cross, and then he's going to show you what happened to him. Psalms 22 and 22nd division. Those are supposed to be those divisions. Yeah, and verse number 1, when he said, my God.
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
So he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus on the cross, he thought God had forsaken him. He said, why are you so far from helping me? He said, and from the words of my, in other words, Lord, I'm crying out to you. But we have to understand, I talked about that this morning. We have to understand when we put ourselves, and that's why we said this morning in 2 Corinthians 4, how the Bible talks about that the dying of Christ remains in our body and we carry it with us. The thought of Christ suffering for us on the cross ought to shape our lives to be more faithful. And then in verse 16 and 17, Brother Oz, of Psalm 22, we'll see Christ on the cross.
For dogs have compassed me.
Uh-huh.
The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
Yeah.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
Notice he said. He said, now dogs, remember, he talked about, referred to Gentile. He said, they have encompassed me. He said, the assembly, those that chief priests and those scribes, he said, the assembly of the wicked, they have enclosed me. He said, they pierced my hands and my feet. And that's what Christ on the cross. When they said they pierced, they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And he said that I may tell all my, in other words, he said, I'm going to count all my bones. They look and they stare
upon me.
Yeah. And we know that when Christ was on the cross, even though it was on the cross, the Bible tells us that not a bone was broken from Christ. And so that's Christ. In Psalmist writer David brought to our attention the fact that Christ said Christ was going to say, he foretold what would happen. And that tells you that David had the Spirit of God in him because he was able to foretell what would happen to Christ and what Christ would say while he was up on that cross. And then he also mentioned how they was going to take Christ and they was going to pierce his hand, they was going to pierce his feet. And he said, I may count all my bones. And they were going to look at me and they were going to stare at me till I die on the cross. And that's why Jesus had a spirit that said, my God, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you're here today and you want to become righteous, you know, the God hears the righteous cry, the Lord will hear you, but you got to first, if you are not a Christian, you have to become righteous. You become righteous by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ. You've heard the gospel, you believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your sin, and the Lord adds you to the one body or the one church, the only one that we can read about in the Word of God. There's someone today, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.